Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to Butterfly Talk. This is the monthly radio show / podcast that focuses on education about epidermolysis bullosa, understanding, support, tips, and general information about EB. My name is Sylvia. I'm your host, and I'm also an EB mom. My son, Nikki, is 19 years old and has the recessive dystrophic form of EB. Today's guest is Jody Champagne. Hey.
Hey. Thank you for having me.
Hey, I'm so happy to have you. So tell us a little bit about yourself and your family.
Well, I am a wife and a mother. And I am, shall we say, semi-retired and enjoying life.
Oh, that's awesome. All right. So the question I would usually ask to a guest like you is, when and how did you get involved with EB awareness? And it feels kind of strange for me asking you that since we met at Antelope Valley College. But for the sake of everyone listening that does not know the story, please tell everybody how you learned about EB and why did you decide to get involved?
Well, it's kind of interesting, as I talk a little bit about this in the book, Courage Under Wraps, is I'm a firm believer that things happen for a reason, and we are put in the path of others for a specific reason that we may never know. And so when I was a guest speaker at the local college here in one of the photography classes about documentary, you actually happened to be in that class that day,
right?
And which is actually the first time we met, and
right.
You know, talking about doing documentaries, and of course, you know, at the end of the class, I always talk about, you know, if you ever have any questions or anything like that, you know, you can always contact me, and. You know, lo and behold, I think it was that night I got a, you know, friend request from you, and
right.
I saw that we had mutual friends and that on Facebook, so I, you know,
right.
I accepted you and everything, and then all of a sudden one day I saw that you had posted some pictures of Nikki,
right.
And, you know, not knowing anything about EB, I was, you know, frightened being a mother. You know, I immediately sent you a message saying, you know, oh my goodness, you know, is your son okay? And blah blah blah. And that's when you had told me that he suffered from EB, and that specific time he was actually getting his hydrotherapy treatment, and. So then I invited you for lunch, and at that point we that day actually it was kind of ironic that we were, you know, talking and you telling me a little bit about EB and your family, and I actually had gotten this overwhelming feeling as we were talking that I needed to tell his story.
Oh.
And it just was so powerful inside me, and that's when I had talked to you about it. And
right.
And of course, you know, it's more, yes, it's about you, but it's mainly about Nikki, and Nikki
right.
being a teenager, you know, it's something that, you know, of course you wanted to talk to him about and make sure. And
yeah.
And that, and from that point, you had talked to Nikki, and he agreed and wanted to be a part of it, and that's how it began, and that was my starting point of learning from the beginning of what EB was really all about in depth.
Right. And I should stress that Nikki was very much part of, yes, let's do this. I'm interested. I want everybody not to know what this is, you know, because I know I still get some grief every now and again from certain individuals stating that how dare I do this to my child, that I am dumb, and I just to sell some books, and I, you wouldn't believe the stuff I get. But anyway, this is Nikki's idea. Actually, it wasn't his idea. It was your idea, but it was Nikki. Nikki was totally on board. I'm like, yes, yes, I want everybody to know what I go through, you know, so that's awesome. Now, what touches you particularly about Nikki and other EB patients?
Well, first of all, Nikki is a brilliant young man, and I tell you, I think he is smarter than his, you know, beyond his years, and although he, you know, we love playing together, you know, video games and stuff,
yeah.
But he always has this certain type of wisdom, and it's a type of wisdom that, you know, an average person that doesn't have any type of disabilities wouldn't understand. And and he would always give me, you know, if I was feeling down or something along that line, he would always give me some type of an inspirational talk. And I would be so shocked because he, again, is so beyond his years in that thought
yeah.
process.
Yeah.
But what touched me particularly about, you know, Nikki or other EB children is that they, I mean, it goes beyond. I mean, there's so many things I could say in regards to that, but their strength and perseverance through all the traumatic stuff that they have to go through, all the things that they have to face in society today, and I had seen it firsthand, you know, being with Nikki, going out in public with Nikki, going to, you know, the school, the classes, the hospital. We even went trick-or-treating, you know, one
yeah.
year. And I've
right.
seen all the obstacles, and not just the obstacles, but how society views them.
Yeah.
And so that really, you know, brought everything back home and made me want to even more so, you know, tell the story because, you know, I'll never forget one of the comments an adult said to him in my presence is, what'd you do, get burnt? You know, because he
yeah.
has so many, you know, bandages on him and,
right.
And that. But it was, you know, so now, you know, my idea is getting this out there so people understand that, no, you know, there's other things, you know, that bandages are used for other than getting burnt. You know, they're, you
yeah.
know, take a little time and look, you know, and understand
right.
and talk, you know, and which, you know, which is amazing. But
right.
But there, just a touch on Nikki in regards to, you know, how he is and as much pain that he goes through, on, you know, or any of the EB patients go through on a daily basis. And when I was out with him, he had approached a senior citizen, a woman that she had to be in her maybe 70s at least. And she actually came to the door and had an oxygen mask, you know, breathing thing on her, but she still came to the door and was so happy, you know, to see her and everything. And when she opened up the door, and Nikki was so concerned more about her and her health and well-being
uh-huh.
that, you know, he didn't want to, you know, have her worry about him. All he cared was to make sure that she was okay, that she, you know, and stuff like that. And, you know, instead of being woe is me, he was more concerned about others.
Yeah,
and,
he's always
and that,
like that.
Yeah, he
yeah.
is a good young man now.
Yeah. Now, how, since you never did books before, what gave you the idea to do a book about Courage Under Wraps? What gave you the idea to actually make a book from that?
Well, actually, because the story was so, I don't want to say large, it was, there was so much
yeah.
to it, so much power to it, you know, one or two images would not tell the story because there's so many different angles to it. And so to do that, I had to, my idea was then to put it into a book for you to be able to see what, shall we say, a day in a life was like for a child with EB. And because people don't know what goes on behind the door, behind somebody's, you know, front door. They don't know what they have to go through. And all they see is you know, a child with bandages.
Right.
And that, so they don't know what happens behind the scenes and what they go through. And this specific book, you know, Courage Under Wraps with Nikki, is extremely personal, and it shows you the pain and what he actually has to go through on a daily basis.
Yeah. Now, what was your biggest inspiration and hope for your book?
My goal in this book was to raise awareness of EB, because I think people need to understand that, you know, that these families, not just the, you know, of course, obviously the child with EB is suffering, but the family of that child also is not necessarily suffering, that might be the wrong word, but is going through so much to try to take care of not only their child with EB, but the entire family.
Yeah.
And that if, you know, if somebody would take the time to just stop and talk with somebody instead of, you know, walking down the street, you know, and seeing somebody that might be in a wheelchair with bandages, you know, I'll automatically walk across the street because they don't want to come near, to just walk up and I want them to be able to walk up and say, you know, hello, and, you know, and then talk and get more familiar with it instead of being afraid of it.
Yeah. No, yeah. And, you know, what you said earlier about people just seeing the bandages, and it's true, because I had friends who always thought and told me that I was exaggerating, you know, these are not wounds, and then they saw photos of the wounds and they're like, oh, I'm sorry, and they came back to me and apologized, you know, and it's this thing, you know, and it's hard to see, and it's, you know, it's not an easy thing to see. It's hard for me to see when I went through the book the first time. I just couldn't even go through the whole thing. It was just too intense for me. And
right.
But that's,
well,
my
not
life.
Just you.
Exactly. Yeah, and
not,
it's my life. You know?
Right. It's your life. Even though I was there documenting this with you and Greg and that, and, you know, even though you guys live it on a daily basis, you don't see it.
Right.
You know what I mean? You don't see it
how
an outside perspective. You see it because you're there doing it, and you're, I don't want to say you're numb to it, because it always gets to you on a daily basis, you know, because that's your child. But but seeing it presented in a different way, it brings it a little bit more to reality.
Exactly. Now, how has getting involved in EB awareness changed your life?
How it's changed my life is I look at things completely different. I, you know, I now, when I see somebody that, you know, is in a wheelchair or a walker or, you know, any type of person. Well, I say hello to everybody, obviously, when I come across them, but I make a point of going up to them and saying hello and talking with them and getting to know them, because you know, it's so important. That just acknowledgement can go a long way. And let me tell you a brief story. When I first started this book, you know, I understood about the bandages and stuff like that, because I was really starting to get into the heart of it all. And I was down in L.A. Photographing, you know, for the week, and there was this big war protest going on down there, and I was, you know, photographing it. And a friend of mine that was with me happened to say, you know, isn't that like the boy you're documenting? You know, and I look over, and I went over there, and I'm like, oh, my goodness. I ran up to the family. There was a mother, father, and their son in a wheelchair with covered in bandages.
Yeah.
And so I approached them, and I said, you know, does your son, you know, happen to have EB? And their eyes widened, their jaws dropped, and they're like, oh, my God, how did you know? You know, yeah. How did you know that, you know, he had EB and blah, blah, blah? And so it was an amazing meeting point at that time. I took a photograph of them, you know, obviously, you know, with their permission, and I told them what I was doing with Nikki, and they were so excited because they feel so alone. And and the fact that this meeting happened because they were actually on vacation from London.
Right. Right.
And so, yeah, so that was by chance, a chance meeting. And so they were so excited that somebody was basically getting to the heart of what EB is to show the world.
I later found this young man. His name is James Dunn, and he's been doing videos now. You know him. He's a sweetheart.
Yeah.
And I think he's around Nikki's age, maybe a little older. But, I mean, just that doesn't happen. You don't go around, oh, does he have EB? That doesn't happen. People don't know this thing at
right.
all. You know.
Exactly. And they were, I mean, if I could have gotten a snapshot of the parent's face when I asked them, and they real, you know, and I asked them if he had EB and their chins dropped, I mean, because no one knows about it.
Exactly.
And so, and that was my goal, is to bring awareness and have people have a little bit better understanding in regards to, you know, children with illnesses, other families, you know, just give them a little understanding of how, what families have to go through that have a child with a disability.
Yeah. Now, for the past couple of years, you've been working on a new project called Diminishing Generations, which entails photographing and interviewing veterans. Tell us how you got involved and what is the hope for these series of books you're continuing to work on.
Well, Diminishing Generations is a documentary that actually includes a technology called augmented reality, where those images in the book comes to life with a video. So what I had done, again, back to that chance meeting, I happened to meet, I won't go into the full story, but briefly, I by chance ran into a woman, a 94-year-old woman that was a Marine during World War II.
Amazing.
And later did I find out that she was also a descendant of Francis Scott Key. And I started talking to her about an idea that I had, and she then proceeded to tell me that she was meant to meet me to tell me that I need to tell those stories of our veterans.
Aww.
And it was an amazing meeting, and I actually, yes, interviewed her too, but it got me going on the series of books. And what it does is it allows our veterans from World War II, Korea, and Vietnam to be able to tell their own personal story of wartime. And shall I say, the good, bad, and the ugly. I tell them no filter, tell it like it is, because we don't, this generation and future generations will never know, you know, what it was like to be at Pearl Harbor or Clark Air Force Base when it got hit, and what it, you know, what it was like to be, you know, in Vietnam, you know, during
And you know, another thing is a lot of these veterans have been reticent, you know, to telling their stories too, you know. And so it's good to have a reason for them to tell their story, because I know a lot of their families probably never even heard a lot of this stuff.
Oh, and you know what? Some of the families have never asked, never wanted to ask, and never wanted to hear about it until now. And now that their stories are getting out, you know, which is important to them. And so it's like preserving history in a new way. It's allowing books to still be books, but yet using a technology that this and future generations understand.
Right,
and
that's true.
And
you can actually see them. Yeah, and you can actually see them in, you know, talking about their experiences. That it's amazing.
Exactly. You can actually watch them tell with emotion, anger, you know, tell their story of wartime. And there's
now,
all
how
kinds.
Many,
I,
I'm sorry.
Okay. I was going to say there's all kinds of veterans. I don't pick any specific kind. So you'll have, you know, anywhere from, you know, someone here in the United States working all the way through to, you know, a POW. You know, so I don't, you know, I'm doing it to honor the veterans, and I don't care what you did in the service. I'm there because you were there, and I want to hear your story.
Now, how many veterans total? I know you told me, but...
right now, for the first volume of series, there's about 80, roughly about... 80 to 85, and then I've been continuing, so I have more.
And some have already passed away since you interviewed them, correct?
That's correct. That's the reason why I had called it Diminishing Generations, because we are losing these veterans more and more every day. So if I didn't have these stories from them, they would have been lost. And some of these stories you're not going to hear or read. You're not going to read these stories in any history books, you know, especially not coming directly from them.
Yeah, exactly. Now, what are your projects for 2016?
Oh, boy.
I know you're always busy, so tell us. Spill the beans.
Yeah, I'm always spill the beans. Well, okay. Well, the first volume of Diminishing Generations has been so amazing that I was asked not to stop. So I am continuing now on volume two. And with this project, there is other avenues that start to stem from it now that people are understanding what it's all about. So I am continuing on with that project this year for, shall we say, volume two. And along with that is another amazing project that I started called Allegiance, Our Heroes Not Forgotten. And it's about World War One and World War Two veterans. And it's an amazing story about our veterans that are buried in a foreign country. And the villages of these countries take such good care of those veterans from the beginning. And they adopted the soldiers, and it's passed down from generation to generation. And some of those soldiers have more and know more about that soldier than the present family members knew.
Wow.
And so, and that's what's amazing about the story. But the tie-in that that I will have with my Diminishing Generation project and this new project is, one, I still have a World War II veteran that lives in Belgium, never left, that was with Patton and also had freed one of the concentration camps over there.
Wow.
And then on top of that, you have World War II veterans that were killed in action over there that are buried there that were in the same unit as a couple of the people that I've interviewed in my World War II book.
Wow.
So there's a connection there as well, which is amazing.
Well, you know, my dad was born in a village near Asiago, and it is the Asiago of the cheese, by the way. Yes, I get that all the time. And Asiago in World War One, it was basically the hotbed of World War One, and so it was completely destroyed. And so they have a lot of little cemeteries around Asiago, which are I saw one, and I actually have a little video of it that I took back in the 90s. And it's a British cemetery, so it's not American, it's British, but still it's so well taken care of, and it's amazing to see what they do. with, you know, with what they have. It's really remakeable.
It's
so I totally
it's
understand what you talk about. So I totally see what you
you see it. Yeah,
I see it.
Yeah, you see it, and they actually celebrate every American holiday and Veterans Day there. They like for an example, one of the graves, the family that have adopted that soldier had known where he had come from and where he lived, what he lived around, and he really enjoyed a specific type of a fern. So they lay a very specific type of fern and flowers at his grave so he has a piece of home.
Wow.
And
that's awesome.
And yeah, it's absolutely amazing. So I will be actually going to Belgium and the Netherlands,
right,
and France, mm-hmm, in May. And
okay,
so not only will I be seeing all the different areas, but I will also be visiting Normandy. I will also be visiting Bastogne, which is where the Battle of the Bulge was fought, which I have interviewed one of the survivors of the Battle of the Bulge. And and that, which is going to, you know, it's all amazing, and it kind of, for me, brings it into a complete circle from all the stories that I've actually heard already from our World War II veterans.
Now, we're running low on time. Tell everybody how to find your webpage and Facebook page and how to contact you.
You got it. I have a webpage called jodychampagne.com, and on there you'll see the various types of work and new things that are coming up as well, and all the list of books that I do have. And on my Facebook page, I have Jody Champagne Photography or Diminishing Generations, or Allegiance, Our Heroes Not Forgotten. And if you have any questions or are interested and you're a veteran and interested in being part of the project, you're more than welcome to contact me at 661-305-8798.
Okay, great. Now, if anybody that's interested in purchasing either Courage Under Wraps or Diminishing Generation Series 1, they can go to your website, right, jodychampagne.com?
That's correct, right off my website. That's correct.
And then there's a form there, and you can pay with PayPal and MasterCard, whatever, right?
Right, PayPal or regular credit card. Either way, it takes you right to there. If you have any questions, you can email me at jody@jodychampagne.com.
All right, so we have 2 minutes left. So do you have any words of wisdom and any parting thoughts?
My only thing is to take an opportunity to say hello to somebody that you feel, you know, might be disabled, because it might change their day, how their day has been. And and the other thing is, if you see a veteran, take a moment and also thank them. And in both situations, it would make their day that they are acknowledged and feel appreciated, and that they're not forgotten.
Awesome. Well, it was a pleasure
go hand
having
in hand.
You, Jody. Yeah, absolutely.
Well, it was a pleasure being on, and thank you so much for asking me.
Oh, and thank you for being my guest, and thanks to everybody for listening to Butterfly Talk. If you would like to be a guest, or if you have an idea for a future show to share, please send me a message either on the Blog Talk Radio main page for this show, or you can email me, which is ebmama@gmail.com. Until next month, ciao. Bye-bye, Jody.
Bye-bye. Take care.
Take care.